So I don't know about you, but I love the day of Pentecost. It's an exciting day. I really enjoy fire, and I'm grateful to Karen for all the work she did to dress the altar today. It looks amazing, and it's all fire code and safety approved. So yeah, none of that is flammable other than the candles, I'm sure. So. You know, fire is kind of a wild thing sometimes. Have you ever accidentally set your yard on fire? Yeah, I have. I was, it's probably not surprising to any of you, but I was trying to burn the old junk out of my garden one spring, and it was a nice, dry, windy day. And before anything had greened up, and I got my blowtorch out, and I set some stuff on fire, and before you know it, it was leaping from place to place to place. And I was running around on the hill with a rake going like this because I didn't have the hose hooked up yet. Needless to say, I don't do that anymore. But when the Holy Spirit fell on that first day of Pentecost, it was igniting a fire that leapt from place to place to place to place that was unquenchable. Jesus told his followers to go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father from on high. You notice that he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. But then it was some time later, after they had been waiting, and they were anticipating what was going to happen. They were obedient to what Christ had told them to do. They were waiting and they were praying. And then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit comes in his time. There's a story about D.L. Moody. Ever heard of him? Yeah? Okay. All right. Good. Excellent. He held up a glass and he said, how can I get the air out of this glass? And this one guy said, suck it out with a pump. And Moody replied, that would create a vacuum and shatter the glass. And then there were other numerous suggestions, and Moody smiled and he picked up a pitcher of water. He filled the glass and he said, there, now all the air is removed. And then he went on to explain that victory in the Christian life is not accomplished by sucking out a sin here or there, but by being filled with the Holy Spirit. So we look at history, we look at the history in the scriptures of people that were filled with the Holy Spirit. Anybody know the story of Gideon? Maybe? Yeah? Okay. All right. Called by God to do some amazing things. Definitely couldn't do it on his own. Trusted God. The Spirit rested upon him. And he was able to do things that he should never have been able to do. How about Samson? Remember him? Yeah? Right? The guy with the hair. He got duped by a lady. Cut his hair. Lost his strength. Right? That guy. But in the end, the Holy Spirit comes upon him. And his strength is restored, and he's able to bring down the place where he was in a superhuman way by the power of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit rested on the prophets throughout the Old Testament, enabling them to walk in the power of the Lord in amazing ways and to be able to preach his good news to them. Isaiah says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Right? Remember that scripture? We often hear about it shortly after Christmas sometimes. Ezekiel, the Holy Spirit was poured out on him, and he was told he would be given a new heart and a new spirit, and that new heart and that new spirit was going to be given to all of those other people. And then how about Joel? We heard about that today in the scriptures. In these last days, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. So God's promise of the Holy Spirit is something that is new when we hit the New Testament. It was poured out on individuals here and there throughout the Old Testament for specific reasons at specific times, but God's promise of the Holy Spirit is for us, it's for you, it's for today, it's for everyone. It's regardless of gender, regardless of ethnicity, regardless of race, regardless of who you are, the promise of the Holy Spirit is available to you. You know, if you go back and look at that account of the first Pentecost, when you really read who was in the upper room gathered together, it wasn't just a bunch of guys. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was up there too. You need to tell me Mary, the mother of Jesus, was filled with the Holy Spirit, a tongue of fire rested on her head, and she spoke in other tongues? What? That's awesome. We don't often think about that. You know, we think Mary, the mother of Jesus, oh, there she is. You know, she has the halo around her head, and she's in the manger holding baby Jesus. But this is Mary, the mother of Jesus, baptized in the wildfire of the Holy Spirit. Pretty cool. John the Baptist, right? The Holy Spirit was on him. And look what happened in his ministry. I mean, the dude lived on locusts and honey. I haven't tried that yet. Someday I'm going to. That'd be a good children's sermon someday. I'm going to buy some locusts on Amazon and dip them in honey. I'll make sure you know when so you can avoid that day. No. But his ministry was powerful because the Holy Spirit rested upon him, not because he was some silver-tongued orator. It was because of the Holy Spirit that was on him. He was doing his God-given purpose and his God-given gifting to do what he was supposed to do. And because he was doing that and the Holy Spirit rested on him, there was power in that ministry. The Spirit of God wants to fill every single one of us and bless us with the gifts and the skill and the ability and the boldness and the power to be able to do what he has called us to do. It's by the Spirit of God that we're given a love for others, by the Spirit of God that we're able to go out and through his Spirit bind up the brokenhearted and the rejected and the lost. God wants to move and work through you. And through the prophet Joel, God promises that the Holy Spirit is not just, you know, for the elite few, but for all of us. In the scripture, this word baptize, you know, sometimes we think about baptize. I was baptized with water in the Presbyterian church. I had a little sprinkling on my forehead. It was the same day my dad was baptized, and he came to know the Lord later in life. And it's just a little bit of sprinkling of water. I think I cried. I don't know. But I was three. And sometimes other churches will as we did one day here for Nicholas and Allie, I don't know if you remember, we dragged a stock tank in here and filled it with water. And we baptized them. It was a dunking. And I missed the tips of Nicholas's hair. And his mom said, do them again. And we got everything all the way down under. And that's that baptism that it's talking about. Baptizing you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. It's an overwhelming, plunging, drenching. It's not with a squirt gun. It's literally you are so filled with the Spirit of God that it's dripping out, running down. And if you get near anybody, they're probably going to get splashed. Okay? We just had the Alpha Course Holy Spirit Day, where we talk about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And the presenter on that course talks about a sponge. You know, if you get an old-fashioned sponge and it's all dry, you can kind of tap it on things. It's hard, right? Remember those old smelly sponges you used to have to wipe the lunch tables down with? Yeah, those nasty things. They were dry and hard and brittle. And if you threw them in the water, they wouldn't even really suck in any water right away. But after they were in it for a little bit, the edges started to get wet. And then pretty soon, it would suck up all the water. It would be so full that if you picked it up out of the water, it would be running down your arm, dripping off your elbow, and going everywhere. And that's what the Lord wants to do with us, with his Spirit. You know, as we begin to seek the Lord, we begin to allow him to work in our hearts and in our lives, and we begin to seek the work of the Holy Spirit in us, and softens up the edges a little bit. You know, I still have edges I didn't soften. I don't know about you. but he softens up those edges and prepares us to be able to really drink in his Spirit, that we can go out with that living water into the world. So, you know, the Holy Spirit lives inside every person that is a Christian, every person that has received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. The Spirit is given to them as a token, as a seal, as a promise, as a sign of their redemption. And every Christian has gifts that they are given. And it's when we use these gifts as the body of Christ that the church becomes healthy. And then the church begins to grow. The scripture lesson that we read today, the first one from Acts, talks about that first day of Pentecost. And what that scripture lesson leaves off is that it talks about how everybody that was there heard in their own language those that were filled with the Spirit speaking about God's deeds and acts of power. They were testifying in other tongues, but that were understandable by the people that were gathered in the crowd that day, each in their own tongue. And they were astonished and amazed by this. And they were so astonished and amazed by this, and this is what the lesson leaves out, that about 3,000 people were added to their number that day. That's a lot of people. You know, what's the population of West Windsor? Do you know? About 1,000? Yeah? Okay, so, right, so West Windsor, the entire population, three times over, was added, right, you know, in that day. If they hadn't been filled with the Holy Spirit, but had testified about God's deeds of power, do you think that would have happened? I don't think so. It was the power of the Holy Spirit that was there to transform. You know, the people that were there tried to explain a supernatural occurrence by natural means. They tried to explain it away. They said, oh man, these guys have been locked in that room. They are all drunk. I'd be drunk too if I'd been locked in the room that long, you know. but then there's this rumor going around, and then Peter stands up and he says, you're not drunk. What are you talking about? And then he goes on and preaches this awesome sermon. Wish I could preach like that, you know. But every Christian has access to being filled with the Holy Spirit. I think sometimes there's misconceptions about being filled with the Holy Spirit, that if you allow the Holy Spirit of God to fill you, that you're somehow going to lose control of yourself and be a babbling maniac. I promise you, you're not. The Holy Spirit doesn't force itself on us. We can pretty easily resist the Holy Spirit and say, sorry, thanks, but no thanks. And he doesn't do that. But if we're willing to trust the Lord and say, Lord, here I am, use me, fill me with your Spirit, that I might be able to do the things you've asked me to do and walk in the ways you've asked me to walk, not just in a human way, but filled with your power and your presence and your life and your light to bring to those around me, he will. And it's not a big, awesome, magic prayer. It's a, come Holy Spirit and fill me. It's pretty simple. Simple as that. I started with D.L. Moody. I'm going to close with D.L. Moody. When he was just starting in his ministry, he heard a preacher make this statement. The world has yet to see what God can do with one person fully surrendered to him. The world has yet to see what God can do with one person fully surrendered to him. And Moody that night said, by God's grace, I intend to be that person. That's my prayer for myself. That's my prayer for you. That you come to a place where you'll be willing to be fully surrendered to the Lord and be fully filled with his Spirit. That we might be able to be fully what God intends for us as individuals and as Brownsville Community Church to be in the world around us. So we're going to be coming to the Lord's table, receiving Holy Communion, and on Pentecost, as part of receiving the gifts of the bread and the cup. If you would like to receive prayer for anything, if you'd like to receive prayer for struggling with sin, if you'd like to receive prayer to trust your life with Jesus Christ, if you'd like to receive prayer for healing, if you'd like to receive prayer to be filled with the Holy Spirit, there's going to be a couple of folks on this side and a couple of folks on this side at the back of the church during communion to be able to pray with and for you, for anything really. So after you come and receive the bread and the cup, as you're heading back by the sides, if you'd like to receive prayer, those folks will be there to do that with you. What better a day to pray to receive the Holy Spirit than on Pentecost? Lord, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit. Lord, all human means to try to describe the Spirit fall short, whether it be glow sticks or gloves or flint and steel. Lord, those things help us to begin to understand just a little bit. Lord, we pray that by your Spirit you would reveal yourself to us in this mysterious third person of the Trinity, Lord. We ask for your blessing and for your empowerment. In Christ's name, amen. We're going to stand.